Parsha Vayetze, where Chaim Shmulevitz points out, has no hefsekis in the middle. There's no pay, there's no samach. If you mount a sedra that way, you can go straight. Right? There's no breaks in the entire Parsha. One straight story, looking to say for Torah, there's no paragraphs, no nothing. So the question is, we know that the hafsokis were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he can be misboining in what he just learned. You need a chance to consolidate what you learned, and then you can go weiter. So how's it shy? You have a parsha like 150 psukim, and there's no hefsek to sit and think about what you just learned. It's straight till the very end. So the pshat is that you're reading a story over here about Yaakov Avinu, and you can think it's a pretty tragic story. Here you have a brother who's running for his life because his other brother wants to kill him. And so he has to run to his brother, his mother's brother, his uncle, who's a creep and a cheat and everything like that. And he has to run away to save his life from Esav, who's chasing him. And he ends up getting over there and he's treated, by a scoundrel. He works 7 years for his wife, then he finds out that it's the wrong wife. He's got to work another 7 years. Every step of the way, there's tzaros and tzaros and tzaros. So you would think, this is gefährlich, what's going on over here? What's the Rebbein Shem doing? So if you stop in the middle, you don't understand what's going on. You look at it and you see this is terrible. But if you read the whole story from beginning to end, you get to the end of the parsha, and Yaakov is coming home with 4 wives and 11 children, and he's created Klal Yisrael, and he's persevered. Now you see the whole story. You see that it all fits in, it all makes sense. This is the way life is, and it's a lesson that sometimes you have to see the whole story. Like the famous Maisa with the brothers by name of Strauss. I think they owned the Levi Strauss dungaree company, whatever. And so they were, people gave money to Eretz Yisrael, but they gave money to the more the secular parts of Eretz Yisrael. So once the Fruma got involved and they invited these two brothers to maybe look at the Yerushalayim and the Yesharim and maybe they could help out. So they came to Yerushalayim and they were told that we need a place for all the poor people, like a soup kitchen. If you could give money, we'll build this. So one of them, Nathan Strauss, was a big batstocker. He was very taken by what they needed. And he said, I'll give you the money. The other brother wasn't interested. But Nathan Strauss says, I'll give you the money, and when it's finished, I want to come and see it. So they left. They finished building it. They made a big Hanukkah Sabayis. They invited the two brothers. They came back. And this Nathan Strauss was blown away. He was thrilled. He had such a knowledge that what he accomplished. And the other brother came. He saw the Aniyei Yerushalayim. He was turned off. So he wanted no part of it. His brother was all excited about it. On the way out of the Chanukah Sabayis, Nathan Strauss tripped and fell and broke his ankle. And they took him, they rushed him to the hospital. So his brother comes to visit him and he says, "No, Nathan, see what you got for helping out the Aniyei Yerushalayim? You got a broken ankle." Right? So he didn't say anything. He didn't answer. But his brother had business to do and he wanted to get back to England. And he was planning on going on the maiden voyage of the Titanic. His brother, who also had tickets, couldn't go because he broke his ankle. But the end of the Maisa was that because he broke his ankle, he lived, and he got to give more tzedakah, and his brother, who didn't get stuck and didn't appreciate it, ended up going on the Titanic, and the rest is history. So now you have a city of Netanya, which is named after him, and many things in Eretz Yisrael. But I'll call upon him. Sometimes you have to look at the whole picture. If you stop by the broken ankle, you have bikashas. You wait till the end of the story. It was a maisu, the chassidish yid used to have tzoros all the time. Mamish, every step of the way had tzoros. So he always went to the Rebbe. He needed parnos, he went to the Rebbe. He needed a shidduch, he went to the Rebbe. He needed refuah, he went to the Rebbe. He needed neitz, he went to the Rebbe. Then one day the Rebbe died. And Nebuch, the poor yid, he's had tzoros, tzoros, nothing's working out. So one day he goes to the Rebbe's kever and he says, "Why did you die? Well, Rebbe, why did you leave me? You abandoned me. What can I do? I have such tzoros. My parnos is no good. And this and that." So that night the Rebbe comes to him in a dream. He says to him, "Mantai Ruchusid, when I was alive and you came to me, your tzaras were my tzaras. Your pekel was my pekel. Your agnus nefesh was my agnus nefesh. Now I'm up in Shemayim and I see the whole panorama of life. And I see that what to you is a tzara is really the beginning of an opportunity of greatness. It's an opportunity, it's a start of something different. I can't help you because I know that ultimately it's good. You have to live through it and you'll realize that this was toiv, called the Ovid Rachman on the top of it. That's ultimately the message of the Parsha, that you got to live through the whole story. You can't stop and ask kashas. You have to know that ultimately, called the Ovid Rachman on the top of it. We don't always understand it, but that's the matzah. That's the reality. You know, there's a story about a boat called the Domera. I don't know if you heard the Meisen, the famous story. That there were Yidden who were sent, even were escaping to England when the Nazis first came to power. Now, the English were not very nice to these Yidden because they were afraid that they were Nazis spying in England. So many of these Yidden were sent to, they weren't mamish concentration camps, but they were camps for refugees where they were mistreated, but not as bad as the Nazis. But the English were no great tzaddikim either. So one day they said, if any Jews want, there's a boat that's going to take them to Canada. So every Yid that could get out of England, they're trying to the chaperein to get on the boat to go to Canada. So they put them on the boat. Now who's going to, Who the sailor is going to run such a boat in wartime? The lowest level of society. The people who were criminals, they threw them into such a job, and so they're taking this boat across the Atlantic to Canada. As soon as the Yidden get on the boat, they realize the boat's not going to Canada. The boat's going to Australia. So they were misled, and now they're going to Australia, not to Canada. The boat's in the water for about a day, and the German U-2 boats chop that it's an English boat, and they try to torpedo it, and the first torpedo they shot missed. But it rattled everyone in the boat, all the sailors, they were mamish, they realized if the Germans, they're not going to miss a second time. So they, in their anger and in their matzah, they took all the luggage of the Yidden, they threw it overboard. The Yidden are now, we have nothing. We have nothing but whoever we saved from Germany. Our luggage, our last possessions are gone. And instead of going to Canada, we're going to Australia. They made it to Australia in one piece. And the English let them off. They turned around and they headed back up to England. They were in the water for a day and the Germans torpedoed the ship and killed everyone on board. Many years later, The British did a historical some sort of a documentary on the story of this boat, and they spoke to the German commander of the submarine that sunk the Donero, and he explained to them that when they first shot the first torpedo and they missed, they were about to shoot a second one and they saw stuff floating in the water. So they sent out a diver to bring whatever, what was in the water. And they opened up a suitcase and they saw German writing. So they said, maybe these are German prisoners, German nationals. We're not going to torpedo the ship right now. So they followed the ship to Australia. When they saw everyone was let off the boat, they realized whoever was Germans let off the boat, now they can blow it up, and they blew up the ship. So here again, the Yidden on the boat thought, there's nothing worse. The last vestige of our humanity was thrown overboard. It can't get worse than that. Little did they know that that was the Yeshua, that that's what saved their lives. You look back and you see how Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who runs everything. So you have to see the whole picture. So the emes is, this is a Gemara. Gemara, famous Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach and Beis. The Maaseh of Rabbi Akiva. Akiva came to a town and he wanted to stay somewhere, so no one gave him machsanya. He's sleeping in the forest and he has his candle, he's got a rooster to wake him up, he's got a donkey, and a lion eats up the donkey, and the wind blows out the candle, and a cat eats up the rooster. And what's Rabbi Akiva's response to all these things? He says, Kol Yavid Rahman on the top of it. They won't let me in, Kol Yavid Rahman on the top of it. My light blew out, called Ovid Rachman L'Tavav. Whatever it is, it's all called Ovid Rachman L'Tavav. Right? The Ben Yoyod says, L'maisa, he says, I don't understand. How did he light the candle the first time? And some he had matches, or whatever he used those days as matches. So the wind blew it out to relight it. What's the problem? Relight the candle. What's the big problem? So he says, Kiva understood it didn't happen by itself. If the Rebbeinu blew out the candle, you go to sleep. If the kid's reading in bed and the father comes and turns off the light, so if the kid understands my father cares for me, it's the best thing, he doesn't turn on the light and read anymore. He goes to sleep. Rebbe Akiva understood, the tata famach the licht, I go to sleep. Right? So he understood. But I think that perhaps there's a little bit more depth to the story. What is the pshat that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam killed his donkey? What's the pshat? You lost your donkey. So the donkey is a message to your chumrias. The times in life where our chumrias seems to be destroyed, whether it's our parnosa or something about our physical matzah, something is not working. Something's wrong. And I don't know how to deal with it. And you have to be able to say, kol da'ovid rachmanu l'tav ovid. You have to say in every matzah, if it's your chamor, if it's your chumrias, your physical, your parnosa, your health, whatever it is, kol da'ovid rachmanu l'tav ovid. There was a yid who came to America after the war. His name was Heshi Blassman, I think. And he's looking for parnosa. And he can't find a job. He can't. And so he comes to a shul. The shul's looking for a shamus. So he goes, chutz a shamus in the shul, I can do. So give me a shteller, I'll be the shamus in the shul. He goes and he interviews. Everything is gevaldik. Then they ask him, the rest English? He says, no. He says, then I can't hire you. He says, you can't hire a yid, Mustafa Parnosa, because I don't speak English. They say, yeah, you know, it's the kind of shul people come in, and, you know, you need someone to speak English to them to bring them closer. You know, maybe some modern Jews come. We want to be friendly to everyone. If the shamus only speaks Yiddish, it won't work. So Nebuch, he leaves, and he borrows some money, and he starts has a push cart in the Lower East Side. And he's making a little bit of money. So he puts away money, saves some money. Slowly but surely, he earns enough, he buys a second push cart. He buys a third push cart. Mm-hmm. Finally, he puts away enough money, he buys himself a storefront. Kachava, he's being matzliach and matzliach, finally buys a company, and it gets to the point, he's a millionaire. And at that point, there's another company wants to merge with his company. And he realizes this is probably a good opportunity, and he agrees, they're going to make a merger, and they have a meeting in some big office somewhere in Midtown Manhattan, and his lawyers are there, and his partner's lawyers are there, the new partner's lawyers are there. So he said, the partner comes over, he says, Nuheshi, I want you to look at the table, let's read over what the lawyers wrote. So he says, I'll have to have my lawyer read, I don't read English. He says, silence in the room, they look at him. You don't read English? He says, yeah. And imagine if I did. You know what I'd be today if I read English? I'd be a shamus in the shul. Right? So you don't know. It says, Borei nefoshes rabbois v'ches roinon. Boishim creates people with their deficiencies. Why lahachi es v'hem nefesh kolchai? Sometimes it's your deficiency that's your source of parnosa. It says, you never know. But kol da'ovid rachmanu l'tav ovid. That was the best thing that happened to him, that he couldn't become the shamus in the shul. Instead, he became a multimillionaire. Right? So when your chumrius is you have to know, kol da'ovid rachmanu l'tav ovid. And sometimes your candle blows out. You're groping in the darkness. You don't understand. I'm living a life. It's finster. I don't know where to turn. I'm in the dark. It's mamish. It's choshech. And vostutman, how do you deal with that? And you still have to say, kol da'ovid rachmanu l'tav ovid. There was a mice by the yid. His name was Yitzhak Slutsky. As a little kid, 6, 7 years old, his father had a bakery in the Altaheim. And he went to help in the bakery, at least he thought he was helping, and got his hand mangled in the machinery. Somehow, whether he stuck his hand in the machinery the wrong way, and his hand was cut into pieces. So he had surgery. And in the surgery, they grafted, this was before, you know, it wasn't like that. So they grafted skin from his leg to fix his hand. And he ended up that the skin grafted, the graft took, but he had hair growing in his hand. So he was very tzabrochen. It was very awkward, very not geschmack. His mother kept on saying, Zogzuchnish called Ovid Rachmanu L'tav Ovid. Kitzemais, the Nazis came, and his whole family was taken away. He was left a 16-year-old boy with a 4-year-old sister. And he watched his sister. He wouldn't leave her out of his sight. It was, he took responsibility. My sister is not going to leave my sight. And he watched her like the apple of his eye. One day she was sleeping, and he decided to mechaper and daven mincha. He went to daven mincha. He came back. His sister was gone. The neighbors told him the Nazis took her to Gestapo headquarters. So he says, I didn't know what got into me, but I ran to Gestapo headquarters, and I stormed through the door, and I say, give me back my sister. So he looked at me like I'm Toik Meshika. You came in here. You're telling us what to do. Right? You know. So he doesn't give up. He says, give me my sister. And so they pull out their guns. They're about to shoot him. So one of the top officers comes out. He sees what's the ruckus. And they tell him, this kid wants his sister. He says, you lousy Jewish dog, you're not going to get your sister back. If you don't get out of here, I'm going to blow your brains out. You're going to get your sister back like when you can grow hair in the palm of your hand. So he opens up his hand, and he shows the guy he's got hair growing in the palm of his hand. The Nazi freaks out. He says, you people are the devil. Take your sister and get out of here. And he throws the sister over the counter, and they run for their lives, and they escape, and they survive the war. He became a baker in one of the camps of the Catskills, and he tells them this story. So you never know. In the finster moment, in the worst of matzavim, this was your Yeshua. Halavid Rachmana Latavovin. And then sometimes... Come in, lots of fun. And sometimes your rooster is killed. And the pshat is that there are times that we feel we're surrounded by such sorrows that I can't wake myself up. I'm in such a dub, I'm such a matzav of depression and sobrochenkeit. I just can't revive it. And even in such a matzav, to say, nein. You can keep going. Called the Avid Rachman Latav of it. Rav Moshe Sherer, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, tells over that when he was a baby, he was very sick. And his mother called the doctor. The doctor comes and says, his son is very sick. He needs this medicine. But you have to know the medicine costs a fortune. But that's the only hope. His mother sits and she starts to cry. What are you going to do? They don't have any money. Medicine costs a fortune. What are you going to do? This is before Obamacare. There's no, what are you going to do? But then she pulls herself together. She says, I'm going to the pharmacy. I'm going to beg them to give me the medicine. And whatever it is, it is. So she goes, she walks many blocks to get to the pharmacy. The guy in the pharmacy was not the owner. It was just the pharmacist. She begs him to give her the medicine for whatever money she has. And he's masking. He gives her the medicine and she walks back home. I'm not sure if they live in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. And I heard different versions of the story, but the bottom line is somebody pushed her and she dropped the medicine and it broke. And she's standing there in the middle of the street, surrounded by hundreds of people walking by, crying hysterically. What's she going to do? And she can't pull herself together. And she finally picks up the broken pieces. She makes up her mind. I'm going back to the pharmacy. She goes back to the pharmacy. Now the owner is there. And she's walking and she's crying hysterically. She says, I promise you, I'll come every night and mop the floors of the pharmacy. I'll clean it. Just give me the medicine again. It broke. So the owner says, let me see what you have. And she gives him the broken pieces. And he smells it. And he looks at her and he turns white. And he says, I want to apologize to you. Because you should know that if you would have given your son this medicine, he would have died on the spot. The pharmacist made a mistake. He added one wrong ingredient. It would have killed your son. I'm going to give you the other medicine without charging. I apologize for me, whatever happened. And so she took the medicine, and her son got better, became the great Rav Moshe Sherer. Sometimes you think, I can't anymore. You pull yourself together, you keep going, keep going. Keep waking yourself up, start fresh. One day, great things will happen. So this is what the story tells us, whether it's your candle, whether you're in the darkness, whether it's your ability to wake yourself up in the morning to start fresh, whether it's your parnasa, it's all gamzul l'toiva. It's all called Ovid Rachmana l'tav of it. But l'maisa, beyond that, you know, when we say Kaddish, So you say Yisporach, Yishtabach, Yisporah, Yisroimah, Yisnaseh, Yishadah, Yishalah, Yishalah, Shmei, the Kodesh Baruch. We talk about exalting HaKadosh Baruch Hu higher and higher and higher, levels that we themselves don't understand, but you say the Rabbi should be exalted to whatever extent I can understand. And then we say, La'ela, whatever I'm saying, and whatever should happen should be La'ela in Kol Birchosa, Shirosa, Tushbuchosa, Dinechemosa. The final statement of everything we say, the Spitz Bracha we want to give a Kodesh Baruch Hu after everything we said is Dinechemosa. All consolations. What does that mean? That's the last level, Dinechemosa. The Pshat is that we're saying there's going to come a time when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will give us a nechama for everything that happened. And we may not chap the magnitude of what that nechama is, but for all the tzaras, everything that happened, we don't understand why or what, whatever it is, the time will come when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam will be menachem us for all the tzaras of Golus, all the tzaras of history, and will understand everything that happened. We'll understand throughout history the Gamzu L'Toiva and the called Ovid Rachman of the Tav of it. We'll see when the time comes the Nechom of all our tzaras. That's the Spitz Darga. I heard a Maisa. It's Maisa from a Gera Chassid who heard the story from the person himself who was involved. Or he told it over by the Torah Surah conventions. You may have heard it, but tells over that there was a family that the husband became a rav in France in some small town, and there was no mikveh, and the town was very poor. It wasn't like you could go to some gvir. There wasn't an associated. There was no money, so they themselves scrounged and saved and whatever they could do with their total mesiras nefesh and the whole lifestyle. They built a mikveh with tremendous mesiras nefesh, and they built it with their hands, and the money came from here and there, but money that they saved by taking food away from themselves. They finally was zeicher to build a mikveh. So they had some like 10 children. The youngest was a baby boy, the cutest, most precocious little baby boy, and one day they couldn't find him. They're looking and looking and looking, and they open up the door to the mikveh, and they see the babies on the bottom of the mikveh. And he was nifter. And they couldn't figure, how did he get into the mikveh? It was like a mystery. The mikveh was always locked. It was never open. They were very careful. And they found the baby died on the bottom of the mikveh. And they were totally tzabracha. And they couldn't be consoled. It was like they couldn't have an achama. And after a while, when they saw that they just nothing could console them, they went to Eretz Yisrael. And they spoke to Gedolim. And they came back, and still nothing helped. One night, the father has a dream, and a yid comes to him, a choshev looking yid with a long bison board, the whole, and he says to him, I realize you're having such a hard time getting over the loss of your son. Right? And he said, I feel I have to tell you what happened. You have to understand pshat. He says, I am one of the Baalei Taisvos. And I was killed by the Goyim, and I was burned at the stake. I never had a Tahara. And I came up to Shemayim, and there's different Madrekas now. I've never been there, I don't know, but there's different Olamas and different gates that you can enter and different places where you can grow. And he says, I wanted to get to a certain point, and they wouldn't let me in, because I didn't have a Tahara before my death. But they gave me the opportunity to come down to this world and to have a Tahara. But I had to wait. The Rebbein Shem chose the perfect mikveh, a mikveh that was built with true Mesiris Nefesh, with true Avas, with dedication and a love for the mitzvah. And your mitzvah, your mikveh was the one that was chosen. So you need to know the child that came to the world was myself, my neshama. And your mikveh was chosen. And you had this chus to give me the Tahara that can take me up to the highest spheres of the Olam HaEmes. And so, with understand that, you can have the shtickle and the chum. That we brought into this world a child that was the neshama of one of the Baalei Taisvos who died with tremendous Yisur Malkiddush Hashem. And we were chosen to make the mikveh that would be his mikveh Tahara to get him into the highest levels in the Olam Hazeh. So we can came in the Shemisim, but the time will come, the Nechamasa, everything that we'll say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Nechama from everything we suffer will be given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Takud Pshat. In this world, we just say Baruch Dayin Emes. But tragedy, I have to say Baruch Dayin Emes. The Osed Lovoi, the Gemara says you're only going to say Hatoiva Meitiv. Only people say Hatoiva. But in this world, we have to say Baruch Dayin Emes. We know Kol Deoved Rachmano Matav of it, so say Hatoiva Meitiv even by a tragedy. We're not in that darga. Right? We see, so we have a tzara, it's by Yos Dayin Emes. We're Makabal, it's the Rebbe Yishim's Rotzen. With Maminim, and we say Baruch Dayan Emes. Why don't you say Atayv and Meitiv? Because we're not being honest with ourselves if we say that. But we don't see the good. By us, it's a tzar. With Maminim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing, there's a reason. But the pain is still there. Right? I just heard a Maisa, there was a Yid, Ephraim Margolis, a very big Talmud Chacham, the Sforim, the Shuva Sforim for him. But he was very rich. And one day, the boat that was carrying Kemad, his entire wealth, he was in the shipping business, import, export, the boat sunk. And from one minute to the next, he became a poor person. So the Talmidim, the Hasidim in town, they were trying to figure out how are we going to break the news to the Rav. You tell him, by the way, your ship sunk, you know, he went from rags to riches to rags in 1 second. So he says, I'll break the news to him, leave it to me. So the Yid goes to his house and he says, Rebbe, what's the pshat? Kishem shemavorchem ala, atoyv mevorchem ala ra. How do you stand such a gemara? So Ephraim says, what's the problem? Pull the other drachman l'tav of it. He says, I don't understand. I still don't understand. He says, what's so hard to understand? Called the other drachman l'tav of it. So he said to him, tell me something. You know, if your all your wealth would go down the drain in one day, what would you do? He said, I would dance for joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was using me for whatever reason, called David Rahman on the top of it. So he says to him, oh, kenst the unfang in Satansin, you can start dancing. Right? Says, it was your ship that went down. He fainted on the spot. When he came to, he said, I understand now that in theory I thought it was a grace of Maimon. So Kuntz Lamaisa, we're fourth human beings. And we can't deal with it. So we say Baruch Dayan Emes, right? We're Maminim, but Lemais it hurts. Lemais we suffer. And that's the way it's meant to be. But La'os and Lod and Oilam Emes will be Hatoiv HaMeitiv. And I think that's the Pshat. There's a Maisa with his Meir Premishlan. Meir Premishlan once came to somebody's house for Shabbos. And he's sitting there by the table, it's Yid's house, and he makes a Moitzi and he eats the Challah. He turns to the balabos, he says, Rabbi Yid, Verit Gemachtecha, who made this challah? That's the taste of Gan Eden. So the Yid's all excited. You know, my wife's challah is the taste of Gan Eden. He says, Mistoma, my wife. He says, call her in, I have to talk to her. So he calls in his wife, and he says, Rebetzin, you made these challahs, they have the taste of Gan Eden, what did you do? She says, I'll tell you the truth, I didn't mean to make the challahs. There's a Yisayma, an orphan girl that stays in their house that helps us out. She makes a little bit of money. She helped with the challahs this week. He says, call her in. I have to speak to her. So the girl comes in. He says, can you tell me, how did you make the challahs? She says, I don't know, I didn't do anything special. He says, tell me everything. What did you do? She says, well, you know, I took the dough, and I was rolling the dough. Yeah, and. So, well, I was rolling the dough, you know, I remembered my mama, remembered my mother. And says, I remember when my mother would roll the dough for Shabbos, she would sing songs from Hallel. Yeah. And she said, but at the same time I was remembering my mother, I was crying because my mother's not here anymore. He says, oh, jetzt verstehe. When you can, in the midst of your tears, sing songs of Hallel, this is the town from Gan Eden. What's the pshat? You're crying over a tzara, but you're still singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gan Eden is when you can still say HaTov HaMeitiv. It's no longer Dayna Emes. When you can make challah while singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the tears in your eyes, this is HaTov HaMeitiv. That's the time for Gan Eden. That's the idea when Gan Eden will reconcile ourselves with all the tzaras. This is the time from Gan Eden. No, after everything is said and done, what's Taka the Pshat? Why is it this way? Why is it called Ol Rachman B'Tavav? Why do we believe that way? What is the Pshat? The Pshat is Pasha. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. A father gives a kid a patch, so the kid understands Mistoma that the father loves him. Why did he give me a patch? Because he wants to train me, he wants to educate me. Kid was in the street. You know, nowadays, I don't know if, you know, my kids, they don't patch anymore. I don't know why. But, you know, that's not the way I brought them up. But my kids, you know, we visit them, the kids are climbing the walls. No, give the kid a patch, right? No, we don't patch anymore, right? Okay. Well, if the kid runs into the street, oh, then you go crazy, right? Then the kid gets a patch, right? Because you want to never, ever cross the street without holding my hand. So there's a time the tata has to give a patch. If you understand it's coming from a father, okay, and so everything that happens is because he loves us. If we understand that relationship, it does it upshat. So there's a Gemara in the Sechdes Brachos. The Gemara says that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Gemara says a Kaddish Baruch Hu wears tefillin. The Voshtet and a Kaddish Baruch Hu's tefillin. Gemara says our tefillin says Shema. What does it say in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tefillin? Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why did tzaddikim suffer? He's asking this question, why does somebody eat tzaras in life? So Rabbi Shem says, I can't answer you, but I can show you the kesher of my tefillin. So he shows Moshe the kesher shel tefillin. So what did he show? How did it answer the question? How did he answer the question by showing Moshe the Keshe Shalfil? So, once heard, when I was in Denver in 1980, I had a saying with Rabbi Yaakov Hapfer. So he told me a pshat. He said, the pshat is a say, that Rabbi Yishim is saying to Moshe, why this tzoris you won't understand? You won't understand. You got to be in Gan Eden, you got to be in Olam Emes to understand why there's a tzoris. But one thing I can show you, the Keshe Shalfilin, what's the pshat? My tefillin say how much I love the Klal Yisrael. I want you to see that those tefillin are bound to me. There's a kesher tying those tefillin to my head. When you daven, you space out, we tracht about everything. When I have the tefillin on, there's only one thing I think about. How much I love Klal Yisrael. You won't understand tzoras till you get to the Olam Emes. But you need to know that it all comes from love. The kesher shel tefillin is still tied to my head. Dos Adem Shad. Whatever it is, Hashem loves us. This is the pshat. There was a maisa. Hebron Yeshiva, there was a massacre in 1929, I think it was. So after the massacre, the yeshiva moved to Yerushalayim. And came Rosh Hashanah by night. And the yeshiva was, everyone was tzibrochen. There was no ruach, there was no feeling. It was just a washed out place. It was, everybody was living with the tzara. There was no feeling. It wasn't the yontiv dik. It was the leib chasm and the mashkiach goes over to a certain bocher. He says, Geitzu tziryom at David Myers. He says, Rebbe, I'm a bocher. Yom leroy, you want a bocher to David. Geitzu tziryom, I want you to David. So he goes up to David. And they say Borchu. There's no feeling. There's no ruach. There's no electricity in the air. They say Amar Evarovim. They get up to Ava Soilim, Eis Yisrael, Amcho Hafta, and everyone's davening and they're waiting for the Chazan. And the Chazan is crying. And finally, after a while, he starts to daven, and he starts to say the Avoscho Al Tosir Mimenu Yerlam. And over again, he can't go weiter. V'yavoscho al tosir mimenu li'olamim. Then the whole place joins him, and everyone is screaming, V'yavoscho al tosir mimenu li'olamim. V'yavoscho al tosir mimenu li'olamim. They say over, that is what rebuilt Chevron Yeshiva. That might have rebuilt Chevron Yeshiva. That realization. We suffered the gefer l'chatzor, we don't understand it, but V'yavoscho al tosir mimenu li'olamim. Thus it is said. So I saw Maisa, that there was a kid tells over, grew up in the old city of Yerushalayim. And they used to be like a kohel that would give a certain amount of money to a family per week, and that's how they lived. So the mother tells the boy in the morning, Chaimka, I have to go shopping for Shabbos. Go to the kohel office, you get the 60, whatever it is, bring it home tonight, I have to go shopping for Shabbos. The kid's an 8-year-old kid, a 9-year-old kid. He goes to cheder. I think it was Hanukkah time. There was a Hanukkah party. And by the time he gets home from cheder, it's already, you know, it's already late at night. And the mother says, Chaim, I've been waiting for you all day. Where's the money? I have to go shopping. Puts his hand in his pocket. There's no money. The next pocket, there's no money. He checks every pocket. Finally, he discovers a hole in one of his pants pockets. He looks at his mother. The kid is in a state of shock. He knows that that's the family's parnasa for the whole week. It was all the time. Mother's looking at him. It's a moment of anguish. Just around the time, the father is getting up to say Tikkun Chatzos. And the father sizes up the situation. He says, Chaim, get ready for bed. Get into your pajamas. The boy gets ready for bed, gets into the pajamas. And then the father grabs him. He says, now Chaim, let's dance. He grabs his son and they dance, and he keeps on saying, Gamzu L'Toyva, Gamzu L'Toyva. They're dancing in a while for a few, just singing Gamzu L'Toyva. That was the boy says, my father, when he was Nifter, was a tzaddik. They closed all the shops in Yerushalayim to be Malava the Mace. He was such a tzaddik. This is one thing I remember about my father, that in my worst moment in my childhood, my father took my hand and he said, Gamzu L'Toyva. So one day the Rebbeinu will take our hands, and we'll be able to say Gamzu L'Toyva also with the Rebbeinu Shalom. This is the Berditch of a Rebbe was once in his base medrash, and he sees a Yid dropped his tefillin. And he sees the Yid, drops his tefillin. He grabs the tefillin, picks him up on the floor, gives him a kiss, and he's all tzerud and all upset. Checks to make sure nobody's watching. And he goes, oh, it's not a geshmak gezach. And he warned me, they have to fast now, whatever that childless are. But the Yid is all ruffled that he dropped his tefillin. So he sees this happening. He says, Rebbeinu Shalom, your tefillin been lying on the floor now for almost 2,000 years. Isn't it time you picked them up and gave them a kiss and brought them to Shia? So Yitz Hashem, we'll come to that time very soon when Roshim will bring the Geula. We'll have to look back at the panorama of our history and all the tzaras, and we'll have a nechama, and we'll understand it was all called the Ovid Rachman on the top of it. That's the essence of being a Yid. No, Roshim's a Tata, and whatever he does, Gamzu L'Toyva. Okay.